Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Dave Kubikian.
And good morning. I'm Jean Marie Schaefer.
Hi, Jean Marie. Jean Marie and I are two of the attorneys from the Herzog Law Firm, and some combo of us and Phil and Kim are here every single weekend talking to you guys about estate planning and elder law. I think it's a fun show. I'll use that word, fun.
It is.
It's fun.
Mm-hmm. I think it's fun.
Yeah.
It's informative.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of heavy stuff. So, you know, if you hear something and you say, well, I'm not sure I heard it right, you can visit us in one of our four offices, Jean Marie. By calling us in the office at 518-465-7581. We're in Albany, Saratoga Springs, Queensbury, and Kingston. And you could also call into the show if you want to talk to John Gabriel by calling 518-476-5900. Jean Marie, there are no storms this weekend, thus we will not hear a weather report. Finally.
Yeah, that's right. We're probably in for a big meltdown coming up.
I hope so.
Yeah, it looks like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 41. Wow, okay, well.
I normally look at the 10 days to get excited, but yes. If you look at the 10 days, you stop getting excited because I think it goes back down.
It goes back again.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
March is going to be a long month.
Yes, but we got to enjoy those 40 degree days.
You know, we talked last week about, the prospects of being a snowbird, right? You were talking about how eventually you want to spend some winters in warmer climates.
Yes.
I don't think I'll ever leave a four-season climate because I feel like, it's like life. You know, if you want to, like, we're going to love 44 degrees in 3 days.
Yes.
And it might be sunny and you're going to say, what a beautiful day. And
no,
you would never say that in August. You would never say that in September.
Right.
True.
But you'll say that in February because, you know what, it's a beautiful day. It takes different forms.
But you had to get through the past week to get to that.
And that's how life is. You know, you got to work for it. It's all these little payoffs here and there. I don't know.
You're not convincing me. I'll be sitting by the pool sending you pictures.
Well, that's different, Jim, because you will have earned that. You know,
that's true.
That's a different story. But we're all doing the grind right now. And be safe out there. We just parked on a parking lot that was a sheet of ice, so seriously be careful.
I know.
Whatever melts overnight is going to freeze.
I apologize for it, but I don't salt the parking lot. So.
Well, I always thought of the South as warm, but I have a client who lives in Portland, and he sent me multiple pictures of spring flowers yesterday.
Wait, where is this?
Nope.
In Portland. Oregon.
In Oregon?
Yeah.
Oh.
They have spring flowers up.
Well, they have, they have different, I had a client this week and his family is Norwegian and he was saying how this time of year is actually warmer a lot of times because of the jet stream.
Okay.
And so, you know, there's the winters end up being a little more mild even though there's not a lot of sun and so on. Anyway, neither here nor there.
So
we have a couple events coming up, everyone out there, and they're really, really soon, so I don't expect you to drop everything you're doing to see us, but tomorrow I'm going to be up in Lake George talking about wills and trusts. That's going to be up at 22 Schuyler Street up in Lake George at the Senior Center up there.
Oh, nice.
If I know we have an audience that's up north. Love to see you tomorrow up there. And then, Jean Marie, I know you have a speaking engagement on Wednesday.
That's right. I'm going to be at the Byrne Library. I've been there frequently before. Nice to see everyone there.
And what are you going to be talking about?
I'm going to be talking about aging in place.
Well, that's apropos of what yesterday was. Apparently, yesterday was National Caregiver Day.
That's right.
I think every day should be National Caregiver Day.
I agree.
If you're a caregiver, you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They should be celebrated a lot. They're saving mom and dad from going elsewhere and leaving the house.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Doing it unpaid for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Just doing it out of love and support for their parents.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Or their spouse, right? Spouses are probably the biggest caregivers.
They are, and they bear the burden. They're the quiet caregivers. The ones, caregiving is a big industry, but the below the surface caregiving, the unpaid caregiving is really through the roof. The the sons and daughters, you know, skipping work on a given day because they're going to take their mom to the cardiologist.
Yeah,
and all that
been
stuff.
There for that, sure. Oh, yeah.
It's all part of it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, it's not easy.
It's like a, you know, $1 trillion kind of.
Yeah, if we had to pay everyone for doing that. Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, let me ask you guys, how long do you think people live these days? What do you think the life expectancy is?
For men is 70. No, I'll say 80 nowadays.
So I think males is still about 77, 78.
Oh, is it okay? All right.
Women are
83 or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy to me. We've talked about the theme song to the show and how it's when I'm 64.
Back then,
it was, you know, knock a decade off.
That was kind of it. Yeah, you're right.
Now it's a little different, Jamie. We have clients who come in and they're in their 60s and their 70s, sometimes in their mid 70s, sometimes in their upper 70s. And we're talking about their plan. We're talking about their kids and their grandkids. And then at some point they'll mention, mom's still here. And
that's
like,
right.
Your mom's still here.
That's right.
And it happens more and more. And you know, the firm's been around so long that we actually have a lot of children of clients who come in and do planning. And when you hear that, you're normally thinking, oh, they're going to do a will. They have little kids and so on. People in their 60s and 70s.
That are the children.
Oh, right. Who are the children who are coming in. They're doing the Medicaid trust, the same kind of trust that mom and dad did. And mom and dad or mom or dad is still with us.
Right.
And what I've done a lot of times, I don't know if you've seen this with your clients, sometimes we'll call mom and we'll say, hey, mom, you know, your son did this trust. Would you like to amend your trust so that the share that was going to go to your son instead goes to his trust?
Right. Multi-generational. Right. Planning. Yeah.
Yeah. And try to, it's kind of a way to get around 5-year look backs and so on, because if it goes to son and then son adds the money to his trust, right, which is what we would recommend that they do, there will be that 5-year clock.
Right.
But if they didn't put it in there, I'd say there's no clock.
That's right. There isn't. Yep.
It's a cool little planning. I would venture to guess that Harry, 20 years ago, didn't have that kind of situation because we just didn't have people living as long and right. I guess Medicaid trusts weren't as much of a thing, but it's so much of a thing now that we're actually able to do it for the kids of clients.
Yeah. So I had a client this week and I did a trust for him a couple of years ago because his dad had a trust with us, and now he's even past the 5-year period. And he said when his son gets the farm, he wants it to be in trust for him. They want to keep it in the family. So
that's wonderful.
And protected, of course.
You know, the gamut, I guess, of the clientele that we actually serve is, all the way to, people who've hit 100 and people who've just hit 18 years old. And it's pretty interesting what a great job we have in that from 18 to 100, you need a plan. It's obviously very basic at the 18 year timeline. We have a caller. Good morning, Kate from Albany. How are you?
I'm well. How are you guys?
Good. What's
We're
up?
Good.
How's things?
So my question is about partial revocations of an asset within the trust in order to private pay for a facility until the period of time where you can renegotiate your price.
What do you mean by renegotiate your price?
Well, if things are within the trust, I think we can, at that point, look at anything that's coming in terms of Social Security or pensions.
And is the facility we're talking about a nursing home or assisted living or something in between?
Yeah, something in between.
So they don't take Medicaid, in other words?
Correct.
Okay. Gotcha. So let me kind of rephrase and you tell me if we're right, and then Jamarie is going to tell you what to do here. So we're in a situation where we have to private pay. We have assets. I'll just assume that they're protected, but they are within the trust. So the question is, how do we get money out of the trust to private pay during this period of time where we're between a lot of help needed in the form of a nursing home and less help assisted living wise? Is that about right?
It is memory care.
Memory care. Okay. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Mm-hmm. But it's within an assisted living.
Correct.
Okay. Jamarie, what do you think? How are we taking money out of this puppy?
So we're doing a partial revocation of trust, which is, you can do that. We need the consent of all of the beneficiaries of the trust. So whoever's going to receive the money in the trust, you know, they all have to sign and consent. It's, how many beneficiaries are there in the trust?
Two.
So that's pretty easy. And they'll, you'll both sign?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So we're doing that because under New York state law, even though the trust says it can't give principal, you know, to the grantor, you can partially revoke the trust for a certain sum of money if you get the consent of all the beneficiaries. So the person who set up the trust and all the beneficiaries. And what I would do in this case is, you don't want to have to do this every month, right? Is to look at the cost of the memory care and maybe go out like 6 months or even 12 months and take out a lump sum of money and then use that to pay the facility. And then when that runs out, you could do it again if you're still in that situation.
I see. And would the funds that are taken out go into an account in the person's name or in one of the beneficiaries' names? And then they just pull from that account.
So it depends there. So if it's the traditional trust that our firm has done, there'll be provisions that say that the trust can't be invaded for any reason. Okay. And in that case, you're doing a partial revocation. Now, the destination of that partial revocation is really up to, you know, mom or dad or whoever we're talking about here. So if they want it to go into their name, that's fine. If they were going to get it and then give it to you, it's the same thing. It's as if they touched it and gave it to you. It is money that is no longer protected because it's no longer within the four corners of the trust. But that's okay because you're planning on spending the money. That's why we're doing the revocation to begin with, right? So let's say for argument purposes here, 50 grand is going to be partially revoked from the trust. Whether it goes into mom's name or it goes into your name with your sibling, let's say, to use for mom, all we're going to care about big picture, if we need a long, you know, nursing home down the road, is that the money that left the trust, first of all, it was removed properly under New York law using the partial revocation statute. And then the money thereafter that's unprotected, if it's going to be spent on things, we have a record for what it was spent for. So obviously it's to pay for the memory care facility in addition to the other forms of income that she's got. And that way, if at some point we elevate to needing a nursing home and we need to show the last 5 years, yes, it shows money left the trust, but it happened validly under New York law. And the money that left the trust that made mom temporarily over-resourced, because you can't just have 50 grand, right? We just took it out. We know that was spent down and we have proof. We have the checks of it. So you're doing the right thing by checking in on it. Now, I said our trusts, I'm not sure, Kate, if we're talking about one of our trusts, but there are other trusts out there that do allow for beneficiaries to get distributions from the trust without doing a partial revocation. And I think the way our world is going,
this is one of yours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So, remind me to talk a little more about other options that trust can have, because, Kate, we might be changing our form here and there, because we're seeing a little more of this kind of situation where, you know, it would be handy to not have to do the partial revocation to get you money, and we trust you to use that money for mom's care.
I see. Thank you for your help.
Anytime, Kate.
Have a great day.
Take care. Really good question there, Jamrie. And I do think big picture, you know, we've talked internally about tweaks to our trust that would allow certain kinds of transactions out of the trust.
Right.
Not to the client, not to the settlor of the trust, but to certain named beneficiaries.
Yeah, so sometimes in this case there were two children, right? But there's certainly cases where we have six children or something, and we have to do a partial revocation, and they live all around the country, and it could just be paperwork, right, to get everyone to sign. So we could put a provision in the trust that allows the trustee to make a distribution to the children of the settlor.
Now,
or the grandchildren.
We have, you know, there's pros and cons to that,
right?
You know, because I typically like the settlor, the client, controlling the reins, so to speak, even though they need this help.
Yes.
And so we don't want the trustee acting on their own necessarily, but in I'd say the vast majority of fact patterns, everyone is a friendly party. We all have one common objective in mind, and having that kind of power makes sense. So I think If you're a prospective client, I think you're going to be seeing it a lot more in our trusts. We'll be right back somehow. Lightning fast. We'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Good morning. We're back. My name is Dave Kabikian.
And I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
Jane Marie and I were talking the first half of the show about, well, a couple of speaking engagements we have. We actually, Jane Marie, I forgot to mention, this is big. So you remember, I remember, some of the people at the firm do not, they were not here then. We have a client appreciation event we used to do every single year.
That's right.
And it was a big deal.
It was a big deal. We got to see all our clients. We'd update them on things that had changed in the law or talked about things of interest to them. And, you know, clients, I've had several clients tell me that they miss it. And when are we doing it again?
Yeah, I mean, we'd have, hold on, Diana, by the way, just a second. So we used to have great little topics. We'd talk about, you know, how do you pass a gun to someone else, you know, and it depends on what kind of gun it is or, you know.
Our Swedish death cleaning.
Oh, yeah, that's a different, that's a Harry special.
That was a Harry thing.
if you have pets, how are we going to plan for your pets? And are we setting a pet trust or other arrangements and so on? We have some wonderful guest speakers. We're going to be talking about health and wellness for our clients. And then yourself, myself, Phil, Kim will chime in on some updates to community Medicaid and this and that. It will be on Tuesday, March 25th. And clients, if you're listening, we will be sending out in our newsletter and other ways, ways for you to RSVP to it. It'll be in Albany. It'll be a lot of fun and can't wait to see you all. But on to Diana in Albany. Good morning, Diana.
Good morning. My question is, who pays the taxes on the trust?
When you say taxes on the trust, Diana, do you mean like
income taxes?
Income taxes. Oh, good question. So I'm going to just have you muted for a second because I hear some feedback on you, Diana, but we're going to do our best
Diana,
to answer this question.
Yeah, just hang out. Do us a favor. Turn your radio down. Yeah. We'll be okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, Jay Marie, there, a trust, a Medicaid trust, has a tax ID number. We acquire it for the client, and there are all these technical requirements that the trust file a tax return, an income tax return. But this trust, even though it's got a tax ID number, it is a pass-through entity. What the heck is that?
Yeah, this is a question we get every year from at this time of year, right, in tax season. And the type of trust that we do, it's called a grantor trust. But that means that the trust doesn't pay its own taxes separately. It means that you pay the taxes on the income from the trust.
So, which person?
The grantor.
So you.
So you.
So if it's
so
your
you.
Trust, Diana, you pay
to
income
me.
Tax.
So yes. I should get the 1099?
Yeah, so the 1099 is issued to the trust. The trust says that you are the income beneficiary of the trust, so effectively you will be paying the taxes. Mm-hmm. There is a technical...
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
I was worried about my niece having to pay the taxes.
Oh, no.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No. Unless you really want her to pay the taxes for you, then we'll just go along with whatever you're saying.
No, I'd rather pay the taxes for
her.
Okay,
we'll have you pay the taxes then. That sounds good.
Okay. All right, thank you very much.
Thanks, Diana.
You're welcome.
Right, bye-bye.
You know, there is this, I get this question a lot, right, Jane Marie, which is, do I have to file a tax return? Not. So Diana was asking who pays the taxes.
Right.
What about the tax return? And my answer, and I might, maybe I shouldn't be saying this out loud, but you can tell me or give me a look or something. Mm-hmm. So I say to people what the law is.
Right.
There's a technical requirement that the trust file a return.
Mm-hmm.
I have an LLM in tax. I got a master's of law in tax. Mm-hmm. I cannot tell you what the interest and penalty is on $0.
Oh, true. Of course.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because no doubt about it, taxes will be paid. And as Diana's call alluded to, it'll be Diana paying the taxes. Mm-hmm. She is reporting income. Mm-hmm. Do you tell people they have to do that tax return? I mean, I just mentioned what other people do, which is some people don't file the tax return.
Well, I think it depends on how much income you're getting.
So, well, if it's over,
if you're getting a significant.
Over $600.
Over $600. You are getting that 1099. Well,
You're supposed to. I should probably say you just should.
I tell them they should, because you don't want to get an IRS letter saying, where's your tax return for this, because the income's reported under that tax.
Hey, John, let's scratch the last 45 seconds of this thing. Let's make it make it seem like I said you have to file. So a lot of clients do not. The technical requirement is you have to, though.
But on the other hand, no one's getting these notices that mm-hmm. I know of. So right.
And taxes are getting paid, which is the most important
right.
part.
Right, so mm-hmm. if you did get a notice, you'd show the taxes were paid and say, oops, sorry, I didn't know I had to do this.
Yeah. Before Diana's call, Jamie, we were talking about, this large swath of clientele, 18 years, you got to have a healthcare proxy power of attorney up to 100 mm-hmm. and beyond. And it's those basic documents that end up being so important no matter how old you are. Mm-hmm. And I've had a couple situations like that this past week and a half. None of these are good situations. Mm-hmm. None of them are everyone's doing fantastic. It's all, doom and gloom. And one of them was for a dear client of mine that has since passed away, unfortunately. I had to actually go to the hospital to see him to get an amendment signed. Mm-hmm. Now he had a power of attorney in place, but because of the kind of amendment we were doing, I wanted to see him. And plus I mm-hmm. wanted to see him anyway, because right. of the relationship. But regardless, in the week that passed after I saw him, his health continued to deteriorate, and his daughter, in a panic said, hey, I need a copy of his healthcare proxy. Mm-hmm. I can't find it. They're asking for it at the right. hospital, and about his living will and what kind of care he needs. We were able to get that to her. And I since have talked to her. She was able to use that to make sure that dad's care was exactly in line with what he wanted
right.
and that mm-hmm. the care he didn't want mm-hmm. didn't happen. That's double negative. But that's the whole point of those documents. And if you don't have that in place, mm-hmm. doctors keep you going.
Right, right. They do. So I did a speech this week at a dinner seminar, and I think I said the power of attorney and healthcare proxy are really the two most important things to you. So, if you don't do anything after this speech that I gave, get a power of attorney and a healthcare proxy.
It's like the lowest hanging fruit, everybody out there. If you don't have one, you have to have one.
Right.
It's not about you're going to pass away. Mm-hmm. It's not about any of that stuff. It's mm-hmm. you might fall on ice. Right. It's anything, right? Mm-hmm. A healthcare proxy, a power of attorney. You are still the boss. You're just mm-hmm. saying other people can hold the umbrella if it's right. raining later. That's all.
That's right. You have to have that. The will and the trust, of course, are important for what happens later, but that's going to affect you, tomorrow or whenever. While you're incapacitated, someone needs to take care of things for you. If they can't, things are going to get, unpaid.
And unnecessarily messy. I mean, eventually right. we'll do a guardianship or figure it out, but mm-hmm. why go through all that and all that expense? Another version of this, different mm-hmm. version of it, hopefully, with a better result. I had a signing that didn't happen mm-hmm. In Saratoga 2 days mm-hmm. ago. Why didn't it happen? Because the gentleman is in the hospital. Mm-hmm. He wasn't planning on being in the hospital. He was right. planning on signing his trust. Mm-hmm. A year ago, he was in and he signed a power of attorney and a healthcare proxy. We mm-hmm. weren't at the trust stage.
Right.
But, in his fact, we had other fish to fry, with mm-hmm. other things going on in his life and other family members. The trust didn't get signed 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. But he does have a power of attorney. The power of attorney names daughter. Mm-hmm. The power of attorney allows daughter to gift, to create trusts, to mm-hmm. fund trusts.
Those provisions are important.
And if it turns out that this gentleman is not going to, for whatever reason, be able to ever come in to sign a trust, I know factually, because mm-hmm. of what he did a year ago, mm-hmm. his daughter can finish a job,
right?
Can do the trust, fund the trust, mm-hmm. avoid probate, get the look back started if it's a long-term mm-hmm. care scenario after he gets mm-hmm. out of the hospital, make sure money's protected immediately, Jamie, for home mm-hmm. care.
Right.
all because he did a couple $100 power of attorney a year ago.
And because he did the gifting provisions.
Right.
Because a lot, well, I'm sure every time I do a power of attorney like you do, clients like, why do I have to give the gifting power? You know, why can it's over $5,000. Why would I want my kids to make gifts of my money? And then once you explain the trust and all of that stuff, it seems to make sense.
We need a better word than gifts, because people hear gifts and they think, you know, you're giving away my money, when it's really these technical things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Another technical thing is April 1st, which apparently, as of this moment, Jamie, I just checked my emails, we still have a look back period that is supposedly, supposedly, John, going to be implemented. We've talked about this for years.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
But April 1st is April 1st. I was talking to Phil the other day, and he was saying he's got to tell the clients the law, and our opinions of it are irrelevant.
Right. Mm-hmm.
April 1st. So what are you telling clients where there's a possible need maybe later in the year?
Well, just like I tell everyone, regardless of that deadline, is get your trust done as soon as possible. Start that clock ticking on the look back period, right? Which is now either for community Medicaid or home care Medicaid. But try and get that trust funded so we have options to plan for you.
That and if you think there's going to be a need in the next 12 months, there's going to be a need in the next 12 months. Let's apply for Medicaid before the rules change, just in case. If we apply for community Medicaid for you, it doesn't mean that we're signing up for it and we have to have people come into the house. It might be that we're doing it just to make sure that later in the year when we do have that need, we don't have a 2.5-year look back period if they actually implement it. So to kind of get everyone up to speed right now for home care, no look back. Right. Today is what, the 22nd of February?
Yep.
Yeah.
Jamie can get you qualified for home care Medicaid, community Medicaid by March 1st. Not March 1st in 5 years, March 1st in a week.
That's
week
right.
from today. Okay.
Yep. If we move fast this week, we could do
factual.
It.
Factual. That's going to change possibly April 1st. And what's going to happen on April 1st or April 2nd, right, is that if an application is filed for home care services on that date, they will, as of right this moment, they're going to ask for 30 months, 2.5 years of records. Mm-hmm. If you filed it on March 31st, Jamie, they will ask for 0 months of records.
That's right.
That's a big difference. And for people who have come, you know, to do a trust in the last couple of years, they are not through 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of ambiguity as to what this is going to mean for you. So if I'm not saying healthy people should be applying for community Medicaid, I'm saying if you met with us, or if you're thinking of meeting with us because mom or dad has some long-term care needs, that means it's not going to get better. And if it's something that is likely going to happen in the next year, I'm sorry to keep saying this to everyone, Jamie. It's so annoying to keep doing. I hope they just say no more look back ever for
right.
it. You got to get in beforehand. We've been saying it for 5 years, so I know people have heard it for five years.
They're not listening anymore.
But guess what, Jamie? All of those people that heard it, that applied before those previous deadlines,
they're through that period, right?
They're through that period, and they did so because there was that long-term care need to begin with. So they're addressing that need.
And long-term, and community Medicaid, I should say, you can increase your hours over time.
Yeah.
So you may apply and only get, I don't know, 10 hours a week. And as your needs increase, you can go up to 12 hours a day. You could go up to 24 hours a day. So it's a sliding, continuum of what kind of care you need.
Absolutely. And, there's no wrong time to do the trust if that's an appropriate thing for your fact pattern, obviously. What we're talking about here is jumping the gun perhaps a little bit on the care side of it, only because the rules are going to change. We wouldn't be doing this otherwise if not for April 1st. Being that kind of date.
I can't believe it. It's over.
It's over.
That is a fast show.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit HerzogLaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.